Podcast with Brother Scott. We are thrilled that you have taken time out of your day to explore with us God's timeless truth. Regardless of who we are, we all need the light of God's Word to illuminate our path for this day. And now, here's our youth pastor, Brother Scott.
Hello, and welcome back to the Truth to You Podcast. It is Wednesday, March the 20th. And that means, of course, that Brother Sam is in the office.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Great start to a morning.
Yeah, yes. Awesome. And we got our listeners out there who I know are eager to hear this conversation and maybe hear a joke, a funny along the way. Every now and then we have one of those, right?
Every once in a blue moon, yes.
Every once in a while. So great you're here. Let's jump right in. And, of course, we are working on our memory verse. It's the final time to say this this week in group time, Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. One more time, Ephesians 2, 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, memory verse out of the way. Brother Sam, you got a joke.
I do.
And all right. Lay it on us.
I know. I've got had one of the youth workers actually directed me to this joke.
Oh, wonderful.
Brother Chase, let's
give
him a shout out.
Oh, for the win.
Brother Chase always comes in clutch in my hour of need.
Yeah.
And I needed it this week.
That's his middle name, clutch.
Kids, I'm at the bottom of the barrel, okay? So if Brother Chase can send me a good recommendation, surely, here's the challenge. Next week, let's see if you can top what Brother Chase's joke was this week.
Ooh.
All right. So Brother Chase sent me a joke, and it says this. Did you know that Spider-Man has a winter jacket made entirely of Mediterranean flatbread?
Wait, hold on.
It's a little meaty. Hang on. Right. Let me give it to you again.
Okay.
Spider-Man has a winter jacket made entirely of Mediterranean flatbread.
That's so specific.
Yes, it is. You have any guesses of what it's called?
Who is this again?
Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. The guy with the big S on his chest. No, that's
no,
Superman.
No,
right?
No, that's another superhero with a starts with an S.
Okay, all right. Okay, so what's the question again?
One more time. Did you know that Spider-Man has a winter jacket made entirely of Mediterranean flatbread?
Obviously, did not know that.
Oh, you didn't? Well, it's a pita parka.
Oh man, that is so bad. Oh, that's good, man. Sometimes it's so bad, it's good.
I know, right?
So you know you're laughing, teenagers.
All the teenagers
don't hold
are
it
laughing.
In. Time for a good old fashioned belly laugh.
When you come to Teen Time tonight, your smile is still going to be on your face, and you need to walk up to Brother Chase, and just express your appreciation for that man.
Right.
Good old and then you can try to top him. Next week, with a joke of your own, please send it to me.
Hey, that's great.
I need help.
That's great. Yeah. Okay. All right. Got our funny out of the way. And feel free to share that, folks, with whoever you'd like to.
Yes.
We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 14, talking about a little heavier subject today. But Brother Sam, why don't you read our verse for us? And then we'll get into what we're going to talk about here.
Absolutely. Verse today is found in 1 Kings chapter 14, and we'll look at verse 22. And the Bible says, "And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they had committed, above all that their fathers had done."
Yeah, so let's talk about God's jealousy here for a little bit. And this is, like we said, it's a little heavier subject. Maybe it's a subject that we don't often think about, or maybe it's a subject that we look at and are confused about. Sometimes we look at the descriptions of the Lord in Scripture, and maybe we don't know how to process it. Maybe we look at it and say, well, you know, I thought jealousy was a bad thing, and then maybe we assume some things about the Lord that aren't true. So we want to try to unpack this a little bit and then sort of work towards some practical application here. So when we talk about, you know, God being a jealous God, which is something that the Bible says consistently,
right?
You find it quite a bit in the Old Testament. And this is really, when we talk about jealousy with God, it's always connected with the right that he has towards us. Okay. So, You know, sometimes when we think of, well, you know, somebody has something that I want, or somebody gets to do something that I want to do, you know, I'm jealous of that. Mm-hmm. You know, you come in wearing a spiffy collared shirt today, and I look at it, I say, man, I'm just jealous he gets to wear that shirt. I really like it, or whatever, you know, foolish, you know, idea. But we maybe struggle with jealousy in different facets at different times. That is not what is unfolding here with the Lord, because with God's jealousy, it is relation, it's always in relation to the fact that he, in himself, he has a right to us, us. And that establishes where this jealousy is coming from. Okay, so you have to understand it not in human terms, but in these terms of the rights that God has to mankind, really.
Right, yeah, just looking at the verse, the phrase provoked him to jealousy at first glance is like,
yeah.
Oh, right. Wait a minute, what is that saying?
Does that mean he's provoked to sin?
Right.
You know, but the truth is, you know, we've heard it said maybe, you know, he owns us twice. You know, why is that? Well, because he created us.
Right.
I mean, at a very base understanding, he is our creator. Mm-hmm. We did nothing to create ourselves or advance ourselves. I mean, he did it all. And so, I mean, right out of the gate of Genesis, like, we owe everything to him.
Right.
There's no breath we take, no beat of our heart that we can take credit for. He is the master designer, and whether it was Adam in the garden or us in the time that we're living, we can't take credit
right
at all. So yeah. he owns us. He really does. Now, we say owns us twice because why?
Fall of man, yeah, and sin.
Right, yeah.
He broke that fellowship, and he restored it again.
He restored it through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so we've been purchased, we've been bought, all those exciting concepts that we talk about. So God has a right to this ownership of us, this jealousy, mm-hmm. this godlike jealousy that we're talking about. I saw a description that I thought was really good. You know, when let's say a husband and wife, let's say a husband saw his wife and there was some guy that was flirting with his wife.
I was just thinking of this, Brother
Scott.
I think that's hilarious that you bring that up, because that's where my mind immediately was thinking of this analogy.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, it's good. And so the husband in that instance has a right to be jealous of what's happening there.
Right.
Why? Because she's his.
Right.
They're as one in the eyes of God. And so that's the same concept here.
Right. And us as the bride of Christ.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the analogies just keep going. So, okay. So baseline understanding, I think that we've ruled out the fact that God is not sinning here, correct?
Correct.
Right. God is not sinning. It's actually quite the opposite. And so let's open that up a little bit. Brother Sam, I'm going to read the verse again, and then I want you to kind of help us with that second point that we go to here. So Judah does evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him, that's being God, to jealousy with their sins, which they committed above that their fathers had done. So God has a right to us. What is that telling us?
Yeah. I think it's important that because of what God has done mm-hmm. for us, mm-hmm. He deserves our adoration, our worship. He deserves the fellowship, or deserves that we should have a desire for fellowship with him, right?
Right. Yes.
Just due to the fact of all that he's done. Salvation alone, let alone his blessings. And, you know, you look at the case of Israel, you know, what he did for them in the past, bringing them out of bondage, out of Egypt, you know, and even giving them things that they wanted that weren't necessarily what God wanted, such as kings. And now,
sure.
you know, they're in a split kingdom because of, you know, them rejecting a theocracy of God being, you know, their king.
Yes.
But God allowed that to happen because he gave them up to what they were asking and everything. But God absolutely, like we established, deserves our worship, and they were neglecting that.
Yeah, and that's really the story of the whole Old Testament, is God's reaching out, reaching out. He's the one that deserves that worship. You know, they were supposed to give him everything. He was supposed to be everything to them. Mm-hmm. They couldn't take credit for anything. And to me, this is one of the things, I think, Sam, that the Lord has just in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months continued to drive home to me. Mm-hmm. When I think about the Old Testament, when I think about the scriptures, is every time you turn around, we're saying we want to go our own way.
Yeah.
And God is saying, I'm not going to let you go. Yeah. I love you too much to let you go. And so he pursues us.
You can see in a lot of passages in the Old Testament and New Testament as well, but where it's almost, you can see the heart of God just pleading for them to come back.
I think that's a great word.
And you can see, and a lot of times people will look at the Old Testament and say, well, you know, God in the Old Testament was so harsh, and you see all these things, and like, I will cause this to come upon you, and all this.
Yeah.
But keep reading and look and say, if you come back to me, my arms are open.
Yes.
I am ready to bless you if you'll just do what I'm asking. And you can see the heart of God as a loving Father through all that.
Right. So this is a great reminder, really, of where our attention, adoration, our worship, our honor, we're not the center of our universe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's God.
Right.
You know, God is the one that we ought to be most concerned with. His glory, His honor, how I'm serving Him, how He wants me to serve Him, how, you know, and give Him what He deserves. Okay. So we've established what jealousy is, God-like jealousy in Scripture. We've accentuated the fact that this shows us that we ought to give Him all the glory, all the praise, all the attention, all the time. And what's our third point here?
Yeah.
As we look at, let me read it. Let me read the next verse.
Okay.
And then you give us our closing thought here. But the Bible says this, for they also, this is Judah, the people here, also built them high places and images and groves on every hill and under every green tree. Okay, so the Bible's getting a little bit more specific here as to what it was that made the Lord respond as He did.
Yeah.
And so what is this third point? Where does it take us?
It's talking about idols. And you can see through all of this, you know, the justification of God's jealousy, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just, they've turned from me, but they've turned from me to something of their own doing, which I've told them not to do.
Yes.
And they're replacing God with a man-made figure or, you know, and idols, in this case, it was a physical thing. But for us, it can be many things, right?
Absolutely.
In our present day and age, could be friendships, technology, time. It could be a whole horde of things. But it's interesting too that it's not like, this was just a small subset of the population doing this or whatever, but it says on every high hill and under every green tree.
Yeah,
like this is very widespread.
Yeah, sure.
God is, you know, very disappointed in them because of this.
Yeah.
Because basically, the culture of the entire country has shifted very quickly.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, it's amazing how quickly all of this transpires.
This is Solomon's son who is reigning at this point.
Yep.
David's grandson.
Yep.
And the kingdom has now split.
Yeah.
Israel is not doing good, and neither is Judah.
Yep.
Yep. So.
Yep. And it's just, again, it's un. It, I mean, it happens quickly, and I think this is just another reminder of how quickly, you know, idols can just replace, you know, that attitude that we ought to have towards God all the time. We give this friend or this thing or this even a career, we give this the attention. It draws our best, and then we leave, you know, less to the Lord, you know, or an attitude of the heart, or whatever it is, these idols can slip in sometimes, and even in ways that we don't even realize. And the ultimate thing is that it's depriving God of something that He so rightly deserves.
Right.
I just cannot imagine. I mean, God has so much patience with us. I mean, and the fact that He is long suffering,
right,
in regards to us. But I just cannot imagine creating something giving it everything it needed to prosper mm-hmm. and to do well. And then it just, you know, turning around and, you know, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah. I mean, think of it. I don't know if maybe this is a bad analogy, but think of, you know, your kids. Mm-hmm. You've done everything for them. And if they just rejected you and went and turned to, quote unquote, love and appreciate spending time with someone who literally did nothing for them.
Yes.
I mean, that would break your heart.
Oh, it absolutely would. It would. I think that's it's a good illustration. So how can today, how does this thought help me? You know, we're starting our Wednesday, you know, here we go. How does it help me live my life for Christ today?
I think it reminds us the attributes of God, of, you know, God has, you know, I hate to say human-like attributes, but you look mm-hmm. at the attributes of like, okay, it is possible to hurt God's feelings. It mm-hmm. is possible mm-hmm. to make him be sorrowful over what we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
you know, to look at it in terms of that and say, okay, the person who has, you know, if we're saved, he's redeemed us, you know, that alone warrants our adoration and our worship towards him and just living our life for him. And yes, he knows that we're still human, we're still flesh.
Right.
But to not have any desire to be with him or attempt to grow in him, I don't know, it connects on a more personal level when you read through this and see how much it hurts the heart of God when we disobey him and turn from him.
Yeah.
Which should cause us to not want to do that and to realize that we need to stay close to him.
Yeah. I think that's some great application. And for sure, you know, maybe we find ourselves in the position where something has taken the place of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And we realize that maybe we have made God jealous in a sense. And what better day than to just ask for forgiveness. Yeah. Say, Lord, I fostered attention elsewhere and idols, and I didn't see it as such, but I see it is, and I want to confess that and move on.
Yeah, and it's important, too, if, you know, maybe as we've been talking, you know, the Holy Spirit's identified an idol in mm-hmm. one of your lives, and I think the important thing is, you know, if God's convicted you of having an idol in your life, yes, you can give that up, but that mm-hmm. needs to get replaced with something spiritual.
Yeah.
There's going to be a void there that if that's not replaced with something spiritual, something else unspiritual is going to take its place.
Yeah.
So,
and I would just say this, and I, you know, we didn't talk about it, but I think one of the most idolatrous things in our day and time can be a phone.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, you know, for teens who are working through, you know, that process of learning how to use it and, you know, it's like so many other things. You can own it or it can own you.
Right.
And so, all right, good conversation today. Like we said, we ventured into a little more deeper waters today, and yet some really important things we need to realize about our God. Before we go, I want to mention our teenager of the day, and we're praying for Savannah. So you see her around, you let her know that you're praying for her. I know she'd appreciate that. Brother Sam, thanks for being with us.
Of course.
And we'll see everybody next time.
Adios.